fresh handouts because we've had the same handout for a couple weeks. So we're going to quickly review and jump right into our lesson. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we're going through this series, Making Time for Ministry. We made a few points here. The word minister means a servant. And if you put that in the verb form, to minister is to serve. And so God has much to say about ministering and serving one another. We have a pattern for ministry. That was our first point, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us an example of being a servant that we would do well to follow. And we learned a couple of thoughts about that, that life is about giving, not getting. And a lot of people go through life just trying to get all they can, soak everybody for everything they can soak them for. That's not a fulfilling life. That's not the life that the Lord Jesus led. It's not the example that he left for us to follow. We also saw that leadership is for serving, not being served. Sometimes you hear about these politicians. I mean, they're easy to pick on, right? they get these positions of authority. They become, you know, the mayor, the senator, whatever they are. And now they use that to pilfer and take as much as they can from the public funds. They're living luxurious lives, and they're living to be served rather than to serve other people. And that's not a good thing. People who are wanting a position should not have that position to wield power and authority over other people. They should have that position so that they can help other people. And so that was the first thing we looked at, the pattern for ministry. The second thing we looked at is the priority of ministry, that we should not live for self. And I'm not going to have time to reteach all this. I'm just briefly going over them. The second thought about that was we should live to serve. The Bible says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. All right, Jesus, when he came, he came and lived, but he came also to die. He came to die for us and to give of himself. And that's, again, the pattern that we should follow. We should be not living for ourselves, which is easy to do, but we should live for others and live for the Lord. Thirdly, we saw the people of ministry, and we noticed who should be involved in ministering, and that is everybody. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then we also saw who should be ministered to. We should minister and serve the lost. We should be trying to win them to the Lord and show them that Christ loves them, wants to forgive them. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You see, mankind is at odds with God because of their sin. People might want God to do things for them, but they know there's something between them and God. And some people are arrogant enough to think, well, God should do everything for me because I'm so great. Well, we're not so great. We actually are so sinful. And we should come humbly to the Lord. And it's our job to try to introduce people who don't know Jesus, introduce them to the Savior. Then we see we should not only serve the lost, we should serve the brethren. Much to say about that in the Scriptures, serve one another. And you'll see that phrase, one another, many times through the Bible. Also, the third person here that we should serve is the Lord. Really, all of our service is for the Lord. Sometimes you do things for other people, you're not appreciated, right? If you're looking for an attaboy and it didn't come, well, don't get too discouraged because some people aren't going to appreciate what you do. Yeah, you know, there's some people, it doesn't matter what you do for them, they're still not going to be happy. They'll never be happy. And if you're just living for their approval, you're living for the wrong person. Yes, we should serve others, but primarily and ultimately our service should be for the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Then the last time we met last week, we started the fourth point, and Lord willing, we will try to finish that point this morning, which will give us one more point that we'll hope to cover next week. So, point number four, principles for ministry. All right, what are some things that God says that we can do and follow and use as our guidelines for ministry? We've seen how important it is, and now we want to see and just some ideas on how we can do it. First of all, I mentioned last week, I gave you the first two, is we should live to serve, not be served. That was a review point from an earlier thing. And then secondly, we should do something with what we've been given. Every saved person has been given a gift to serve the Lord in their local church. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. So God wants us to be a steward and to be a manager of what he's given us. And we'll give an account of that, and we'll see that in a little bit. So we should do something with what we've been given. If you've been given an opportunity, if you've been given a Sunday school class, probably not because you're in Sunday school. But if you've been given a junior church class or an opportunity to work on a bus route, if you've been given the responsibility and the opportunity to work in a nursing home ministry, reaching out to folks there, then you have a stewardship. You should pray over that and work faithfully in that and serve others and help others in your ministry. So the third idea about principles for ministry I want you to see is that God sees our service. Actually, God sees everything. God knows everything. He sees everything. There's nothing you can do in secret that God hasn't seen and taken very good notice of. But when it comes to our service, God knows because he sees what we do for the Lord, for him. And we find this in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 19. I know thy works. This is Jesus speaking. I know thy works and charity, that's your love, and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So God sees our service. He sees our ministry. He sees those times that we go unnoticed. He knows all about that. And you know, sometimes we think God has forgotten us, don't we? we're having a tough time in life, and we might start having a little pity party. Lord, don't you know all that I've done for you? Lord, I've been trying to, why you let all these problems come into my life? I've been tithing, I've been going to church, I've been helping this person, and we make this list of all the things that we do for him and we do for others as if he doesn't know. He knows quite well what's going on, and he knows what we've done for him. So when I say he knows our service, it's interesting. He also knows our lack of service. Not only does he know what we've done, he also knows what we haven't done. Those opportunities that we should have taken to serve someone, that opportunity to give a tract to the lost, that opportunity to help a brother, someone who is hurting and suffering, and we had an opportunity to do something for them. I'll give you an example. Years ago, there was someone who had a need, and the Lord I had something that I could have lent that person to help them with a need, and I didn't do it. You know, that something I had was actually a nice something. I'm not going to get into the details. It was a nice something, and I was like, yeah, this is like almost brand new, and I might need this in the future, and I don't know what's going to happen to it if I lend it out, and it might just get broken. And they didn't know anything about it. I knew about it. And you know what? I didn't lend it. Well, a couple years later, I needed it. So I pulled it out of storage, this thing that I needed, and it broke. It didn't even work. And it was like God saying, yeah, That's what you get for being so selfish and not serving and helping and doing something. You were trying to preserve it. Well, I just let you know that I took it from you. And I took that as, Dave, that was kind of stupid. That was kind of selfish. I had an opportunity to serve and I didn't take it. You ever do that? And I can't remember the time I've had a regret for serving God and doing something for Him. The times I've had regret in my life is when I didn't do what I should have done. And so, wow, let's let that be a lesson to us. Let me say this also. If you have children, you have a wonderful opportunity. Here it is, Mother's Day, right? It's not just for mothers, but obviously mothers have a wonderful opportunity to serve their children by teaching them, instructing them, encouraging them, guiding them. Same for us dads, right? We should have that desire to serve our children. You say, no, they're the little ones. They should be serving us, waiting on us hand and foot. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the idea of anytime we even have a position of authority and leadership in any area, it's to be able to help those who are underneath us. I understand we have authority. I understand we call the shots, but we also call the shots with their best interest in mind. I mean, would you like to have a pastor who called the shots so that his life was better and your life was worse? No. That wouldn't be a good pastor. I'm glad we don't have that situation here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God sees our service. Let me get into the next one. Letter D, if you have your outline, says we will give account of our service one day. That's another principle. So we all have this stewardship, this responsibility to serve. God sees our service, and because He sees our service, He takes pretty good records too, by the way. And we see that we will give account of our service one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Really, the scriptures teach about two judgments that we will face, possibly face, let me say it that way. There's one mentioned here, the judgment seat of Christ. That's for people who are saved. And the people who are saved are going to be judged and rewarded based on what they've done for the Lord. It'll be a reward or a lack of reward. The people who are not saved will face the great white throne judgment. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. And that judgment, there's no rewards. That judgment, everyone who faces that judgment will be cast into the lake of fire because they've rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, did not repent of their sin. They loved their sin more than they loved God. They wanted nothing to do with God. Oh, let me say, I'm sure they would be happy to take the blessings of God, but they didn't want to repent and follow Him in any way, and they never had that relationship with God. And that judgment, wow. No rewards for that one. But here we're talking in this passage, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever stood before a judge? Now, that could be a good thing that you did, or it could be a bad thing that you while you were there. I mean, I've been before a judge a couple times in my life. I remember the first time, it wasn't a good occasion. I was the guilty one. I was a teenager, and I was bad. And, we won't go into all the details, but I remember standing before the judge. Not a good day. I was young enough that my dad had to be there with me. That didn't go well, okay? And, yes, the judgment came down, and I was in trouble. Anyway, I won't go into all those details. Another time, I remember I was standing before a judge. I wasn't the guilty one, actually. I was a victim. I had been robbed. This is when we were over there in Zambia, Africa, as missionaries. And I remember the policeman saying, now, when you go there, this is what you say, this is what you do, because I was going to be a witness, because I saw the guy steal the stuff. He says, this is what you say, this is what you do, and all of that. And this is how you act. And I remember standing, I wasn't even guilty. And I remember standing in front of the judge being nervous, okay? And that's my point. If you've ever stood before a judge, you know that your fate is in their hands. You know, that's why people, I mean, they might not ever dress up in their life, but the day they go stand before the judge, oh, you know, they're in their best suit and tie, and they're looking sharp. They're looking as conservative as possible. Why? They're trying to make a good impression on that judge. They're trying to show respect on the judge. Not necessarily because they respect the judge, but they're wanting a good verdict from the judge, okay? Now, if we'll give respect and honor to an earthly judge, and if that earthly judge will strike a little bit of fear in our hearts, you imagine standing before the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the absolute supreme ruler who knows everything you've done and has a record written down. For the lost, that's a pretty frightful thing, because the only verdict that can be reached is guilty and be cast into the lake of fire, the scripture says. For the saved, I'm thankful that we will avoid the lake of fire because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But nevertheless, we will stand before him and he will be holy. He is holy now. He is just. And he will decide what we did, whether it was good or bad. And not only the action, whether it was good or bad, but he knows the motive why we did what we did. Sometimes we're pretty good at doing good things to look good in front of others. It's not in our heart to be good. We're just doing it because we want to look good. God sees through all of that as well, doesn't he? And so we're going to stand and give an account for our service to God one day and be rewarded according to that he hath done, the scripture says, whether it be good or bad. So that gives us some motivation to do something. It gives us some motivation to be involved in that ministry that God wants us to be involved with, to help those people that God wants us to help, to give what God wants us to give, to serve in the ways that God wants us to serve. Let's move on to the next one. God rewards those who serve. And let me just read the scripture here for you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I'm glad for that. He doesn't forget. And when we've done something right and good, he won't forget that. He says, which ye have showed toward his name. And how did we do that? The scripture says, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Not only that we have ministered to the saints, but that we continue to minister. We continue to serve. We find those ways to give of ourselves and the sacrifice of ourselves and of our substance to help other people. That is the blessed life. And God rewards those who serve in such a way. Other people might forget what you've done for them. Right, that happened to Joseph. Right? He interpreted the dream, right, of the baker and the butler, and then the one died, the other one got set free, and forgot all about it. He didn't tell Pharaoh, hey, there's this great guy in there that helped me out. But then eventually it came back to his memory. He said, ooh, I'm sorry, I forgot all about this. But here, Joseph did something good and he was forgotten. But was he forgotten? Maybe by man, but not by God. In the end, God didn't forget his service, and God got him out of the prison, and not only got him out of prison, but made him the second ruler in all of Egypt. He was number two. He went from a prisoner to highly exalted. How does that happen? God. God can do amazing things. Other people might forget us, but in the end, it really doesn't matter. All that counts is God. And we may not see much reward sometimes in this life, but remember, we just saw there is a reward in the next life, and I'm so thankful for that. And we won't miss out on that if we've been serving the Lord. So God rewards those who serve. Another principle is that service should be for God, not to look good for men. I kind of mentioned that, and I've got a couple of verses for you with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. He says, this is how we should serve, not with eye service. You say, what's eye service? You're serving just to be seen. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. True service comes, as the scripture says, from the heart. And it's a heart that wants to please God. Ultimately, if you're trying to please God, you can't go wrong. Other people might not appreciate what you're doing, right? You might try to witness to someone who's not happy about you trying to witness to them. Who are you serving? Serving the Lord. Is God happy with you for it? Yes. So let us be happy that He's happy and make that our primary goal, is to see that the Lord's happy. And not just do something. The idea of eye service as men pleasers kind of goes to the workplace, right? You've got a bunch of workers goofing off, and then all of a sudden the boss walks in. And it's amazing how quickly they straighten up and they're busy and get back to work. Are they really busy working? No, they've been goofing off. What is this now all of a sudden? Oh, great respect for the boss. It's eye service. They're being men pleasers. It was never in their heart to work for the company or to work for the paycheck they're getting. Oh, we've got such a slovenly society that everybody wants to get something for doing nothing. Well, I'm me. I should get paid. Paid for what? Well, because I'm me. Well, what did you do? Well, nothing, but I'm me. Sorry. You and I aren't that important that we should get paid for being us. There's a principle in the scripture that we reap what we sow, and when we give everything to everybody who doesn't do anything for it, we violate God's scripture, and then people think they're owed everything in life, and that's not a good thing either. That's not a fulfilled life. But it's very fulfilling when you work hard for something and then you get rewarded for it. God put these principles in the scripture to help us to live our lives, and our flesh and the world fights against all of these biblical principles. Anyway, so service should be for God, not just to look good to man. Let me give you the next one. Another principle of ministry is our lack of service can greatly hurt others. If we fail to serve and to help others, it can hurt them, greatly hurt them. Right? It hurts in different ways. First of all, it hurts those who should have been served. Think of the lost person that should have been witnessed to and didn't get saved and went into eternity. And you know that you should have witnessed and didn't. It hurts the saved who should have been helped and served. They have a need, and we had the opportunity to help them. And that need goes unfulfilled because we refuse to step up and give of ourselves or give of our substance or to try to be a help and a blessing to other people. It can also not just hurt the people who should have been served, it hurts, think with me, I got a passage for you in a moment here. It can hurt those who have to take up the slack that we have caused. So if we're supposed to do something and we don't do it, someone else has to step up and do it, and it hinders them. All right, let me just remove it from the idea of serving in the local church. Let's go to the workplace, right? Somebody wants to take the day off. They don't have any more days off, but they just want to take the day off. Their job is very important. And so they just call in. Well, there's only one other person that can do it, and they just finished their eight-hour shift. And they said, well, sorry, bud, you're the only person that can do this, so you have to work another eight-hour shift. So now they're working a double. They're working 16 hours because Mr. Irresponsible didn't feel like coming and doing his job. And the one who was faithful to show up and do his job is getting stabbed in the back and is forced to work a second shift. And now he's pulling a double. He's working 16 hours straight because someone else didn't want to. Now, that's easy for us to understand in the workplace. Let's put it here in terms of Christian service. I have an example in Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. Because, this is Paul speaking to the church of Philippi, he says, because for the work of Christ, he was talking about Epaphroditus, was nigh unto death. So Epaphroditus was a servant of the Lord, and he was very close to dying. That sounds terrible that he was very close to dying. What could have happened that made this man, Epaphroditus, almost die? Well, let's continue. So, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. So, there were some in the church of Philippi that were supposed to be serving and weren't. So, Epaphroditus said, well, this job has to be done. I'm going to do it. Well, Epaphroditus was struggling. Epaphroditus, his health wasn't great. Epaphroditus labored and worked more than he should have had to labor and work. And he did it actually willingly to make up for the fact that someone else wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. And he almost died for it. I wonder how many mission fields are missing somebody. Someone was called to go to that mission field, and they didn't. What's going to happen to those people who should have heard the gospel? Someone's going to suffer because of their lack of service. Well, then maybe someone else who well, let me move into the realm of a local church. Let's do that for a moment. There are some churches today meeting across America where the pastors in their upper 70s, even in their 80s, struggling to get by, wanting to turn their church over to someone. I spoke to a pastor out in California a few months ago. He's an older man. He is losing his memory and his ability to think. He's got dementia, and he needs to step down. He can't step down. There's no one to turn the church over to. So he's going to suffer. His church is going to suffer because someone who you would think God has called and led to go in the ministry, but didn't feel like going into it. They want to go make some money and do something for themselves somewhere along the line, and God's work's not that important. So a whole church, whole family, whole bunch of people, whole community are going to be affected because somebody doesn't want to do what God asked them to do. You see how this works? It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. When you talk about parents, what if a parent's a little bit lazy and doesn't feel like training their child or teaching their child or disciplining their child or loving their child and encouraging their child? They're just too busy on their phone. They're too busy on social media. They're too busy trying to be an influencer. Why don't you influence your kids? And then those kids grow up detached from their parents and detached from society. Instead of making a contribution, now they're a detriment to society. I wonder why. Because someone didn't step up and serve, and other people suffer as a result. You see how service is so important? It's integral. It's an integral part of our life. And it affects so many people. It's so important, and that's why God not only tells us to serve, but gave us this wonderful example of the Lord Jesus who did serve. What a blessing to be able to serve and help others. Let me keep moving here. Our next point is that some who serve well are called to serve in greater capacities. I won't belabor this too long here, but in Acts chapter 13, verse number 2, we have the account of Barnabas and Saul, who was also known as Paul later, where they became missionaries. God chose them, and we see how and why here in Acts 13, 2, and as they ministered to the Lord. Did you get that? What were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord. They were serving the Lord and fasted. When they were doing all that, it says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. He said, I'm seeing these two who are serving me. And I've got, because they're faithfully serving me in this capacity, I got something else for them. And God chose those two, put his hand upon those two, and selected them and chose them to be representatives of the church. And they were sent out, and they went out, and they went from city to city, town to town, preaching the gospel. Churches were getting started after people were getting saved. Eternity was affected because they were busy serving God. And God said, oh, I see someone faithful. I am going to choose them to do something else. You know, a lot of times we just want that position. We want that title. We want to say, well, I'm somebody. Well, it's not about just being a somebody. It's about doing something for the Lord. And when we do, God can put his hand upon us and give us more opportunities. He often promotes people who are faithfully serving him. And that we don't serve in order to get promoted, but he often does that. Let me give you the next principle. Serving others brings happiness. You want to be happy? Do something for somebody else. Right? Doesn't it make you happy when you've done something and you've made someone else's day? You bring a smile on someone's face. Someone looks discouraged. You showed an act of kindness. And in some way, you've helped them out. You lifted them up. Paul worked hard, and he ministered to others. He was a servant. And when he was exhorting other people, he encouraged them to do the same thing. And while he was encouraging people to serve, he mentioned the joy that comes along with service. And we find this in Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. He said, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. He says, I have ministered, I have worked hard. And he said, not only to my necessities, and to them that were with me. So I was working hard, I was serving those people that were with me. Now think about it. This is the great Apostle Paul, and he's got people traveling with him, and you think, well, those people were supposed to serve him because he was the great Apostle Paul. I'm not saying they didn't try to serve him, but his attitude was he was using his own hands to minister to them that were with him. Pretty good example, wasn't it? I wonder where he got that from. Probably he was close to Jesus. And then the Bible says, I have showed you all things, still Paul talking, how that so laboring ye, now he's turning it to the others here, ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to what?
Receive.
It's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul knew that. Where did he get that from? He got it from Jesus. and he focused on the necessities, his necessities and the needs of others, rather than the luxury that the world affords. And so we should be looking at the needs of others. All right, let me give you the last principle, and then we'll wrap it up here today. And that's this: service stems from a grateful heart. You know, you can make yourself serve, and if you have to do that, do that. Sometimes you got to kick yourself a little bit. You know, you what you're supposed to do. You don't feel like doing it, and sometimes your wanter is not quite in the right place, so you just got to get the wanter where it's supposed to be, and then once you get doing it, then you get that blessing, right? Because it's more blessed to give than receive. Sometimes you just say, I gotta do what I'm supposed to do, and you might do it out of duty, but you get blessed from it, so you do it. Amen. But here we find in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, an account in the life of the Lord Jesus where he did something for somebody, and this somebody, we'll read about it, wanted to return service and did so because they were just so happy about what God had done for them. We find in Matthew 8, 14 and 15, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." So Peter was married. I know there's a certain religion that says Peter wasn't married. But anyway, Peter was married. That means he couldn't have been the first pope anyway, because he was married. But anyway, Peter was married. His wife's mom was sick. And the Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "touched her hand, and the fever left her." And so what happened? The Bible says, "And she arose and ministered unto them." I like that. Here she is. She's sick. She's not well. She's got a fever. Ever have a fever? It's not just a fever. She had the fever. So it was there was something more involved here. There was a very difficult sickness that she was facing. And if you know anything about a fever, everything aches. You're hurting. You have no strength. You have no energy. And all you want to do is what? Rest. She gets healed, and what does she do? "Oh, let me just spend a few extra hours in bed and just recuperate." No, that's not what she did. She got up, and she ministered unto them. I think this happened out of a grateful heart. She was like, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Look, what can I do for you? You've done so much for me. What can I do for you? Can I cook a meal? How can I show my appreciation?" And hasn't the Lord done so much for each one of us who are saved? And because he's done so much, it shouldn't be that difficult for us to get up and do something for him. It becomes difficult when we're focused on ourselves instead of focused on the Savior. And when we acknowledge our blessings, our hearts should well up with thankfulness, and we should be saying, "What can I do for the Lord?" Why do we serve? I hope it's not because we have to, but because we want to. Because he's done so much for us, the least we can do is to be a blessing to him and others by giving of ourselves and ministering. Sometimes we need to take a few moments and refocus on how good the Lord has been to us. And when we do, it kind of straightens out a lot of our thinking and our service gets renewed. If you're struggling with your service and having a willing heart, let me just suggest you take some time and you focus on what God's done for you. Start thanking him and praising him for who he is, what he's done. And soon your heart will be stirred, and that service won't be as much of a drudgery. You might actually get a little bounce in your step, And we should be serving God because we love him. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you have given us the Bible. You've given us encouragement through it. You rebuke us. You correct us. And Lord, we're asking that you will help us to be focused on you. And you know our flesh is often selfish, but if we are faithful and thankful, then we will serve out of a heart that is grateful. And Lord, help us not to live for the approval of man, because sometimes we won't be recognized by man. Help us remember that you never forget what we've done, and we will be rewarded accordingly. Lord, help us not to swallow the lie of the devil that having other people do everything for us makes us happier. No, no. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I would ask, Lord, that you would bless the service to follow. Lord, it's a blessing to see some visitors with us today. I pray you'll give them something special from your word today, some encouragement. Touch them in a special way. Let them know that lead the service, that you'd use him in a special way to bring forth your word and to make it clear to each one of us. Please be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.